Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. My Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. No one can do like Jesus, not among the word he said. He went walking down to Lazarus' grave, and he raised him from the dead. Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. My Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Perhaps I'm not the only one who has spent the past week thinking about a year ago. I'm mindful that 1 year ago today, St. Andrew's Lutheran Church gathered with family to commend Joe Van de Poppelier to God's love and care. Aside from worship on the following day, it was the last gathering in the building. After worship the next day, then Congregation President Mary Halliburton and I met to decide about next steps. Paul Boomer was part of the conversation. Initially, we decided that Wednesday evening Lenten services would be one last in-person event. At that point, I did not want to move too rashly. But by Wednesday, even gathering for Lenten worship was inconceivable. St. Andrew's Lutheran Church, along with so many sisters and brothers in churches and so many other organizations, had already entered a journey that would become much longer, much more difficult, much more costly than any of us imagined. Few of us could fathom it would take so long. Last week, as the COVID-19 task force showed the chart of 5-day average new infections, I could point to nearly every date when the task force had seen light suggesting potential for resuming hybrid worship. Each time, at about that point, there was a spike in new infections. In fact, even this past week has shown some increase in the 5-day average. The task force continues to monitor the reality. I am deeply aware that many children have struggled during this time. Isolation this past year has been a great challenge. Cut off from face-to-face contact with friends and teachers, family, and so many others has had a high price. Many have completely checked out of online opportunities, even here at the church, like catechism and youth gatherings, because, well, they're just done with it all. Perhaps others can relate. Dining out, youth sports, whether at school or in the community. For a year now, this wilderness experience has consumed massive amounts of energy. It has required flexibility that many did not know they had. Some have broken. Instances of death by suicide have increased. Pent-up anxiety spills out into rage and anger directed at the nearest vulnerable person. Some became creative to fulfill the law but gamed the intent. Others have been creative in figuring out how to do what needs to be done for the sake of others. There are many, many, many signs of that in the Columbia area. I can name the Broadway Diner as one. St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and its both monetary collections and food collections for the food bank. The quilters and the kit production that increased during this time are examples from within this congregation. This past year has been a display of humanity in the fullness of both the best and the most challenging of life together. Then I read the story of the Israelites. They lived their own wilderness journey. I cannot imagine packing up and heading into the wilderness for what turns out to be 40 years. Fear about food and hygiene, concern about safety, frustration at, well, non-existent water. Well, it all brought murmuring. They complained against their leader, Moses. They complained against God. They pined for what they had back in Egypt, even as oppressive as that was. I imagine Moses out in front of the people, with the people shouting from the back, "Are we there yet?" Then snake. It was an odd response from God. The readers of Scripture will recognize this pattern from other places in the Scriptures, from Judges, where the people sin and there is a negative response from God. The people then repent and God restores them. Over and over again, this pattern gets rehearsed. In this case, God instructs Moses to craft a serpent of bronze and lift it above the people so that those who look upon it will not die. This physical gift and promise of healing redirects the focus for the Israelites who are struggling in the wilderness. Over time, this promise, embodied in the image of the serpent, turned into its own object of worship itself. In 2 Kings, there is a reference to King Hezekiah, well, destroying the serpent because people had started to worship it instead of God. Elsewhere in the wilderness journey story, the people beg Aaron to make an idol for them like their neighbors had. Henry Sun points out that in his Working Preacher article that it can be scary how quickly something that starts out as a sign of faithfulness can turn into an idol. He continues, what matters instead is the idea that anything, regardless of its origin, can become an idol for the community of faith. It does not matter what the idol is made of or whether the original intention of the created thing was good, pure, or even salvific. Those things in our lives that represent God's saving action in human history can all too often replace God instead. He continues by naming any number of commitments that can become idolatrous if they become the sole focus of the community of faith. He starts with in-person worship, to Supreme Court majorities, to positions about abortion or women's right to choose or to gay marriage or to school integration, to Black Lives Matter, to the Second Amendment, to almost anything else. The origin may be faithful, even as the commitment can supplant God. We hear today that Jesus references this episode much later. He tells Nicodemus, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus takes an episode that offered physical healing and life and points to his own crucifixion as source of spiritual restoration for the whole of creation. Jesus invites us to bring our own idolatries into the light of the gospel that they may be exposed for what they are. In Christ, we are oriented again to God's mission of life and grace and hope. In Jesus, the cosmos experiences restoration to relationship. This is incredibly good news. God loves the cosmos, the whole world, so much that God comes in Jesus, the Word enfleshed, submitting to profound humiliation and death so that salvation may follow. God's desire for new life is that big. God's willingness to go to any length that humanity may have abundant life is that grand. Are we there yet? On this fourth Sunday in Lent, we can see the restoration over the horizon in Holy Week. In this pandemic time, we can see signs of hope all around. There is much to celebrate in this time. And there is truth that sometimes it is when we are close to home that the accident can happen. Time to watch. Let us walk in faith. following Jesus, guarding against idols, into the emerging reality ahead.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.